who's here today, and you know whoever's here, you wanted them to be here. So Lord, I pray to open up their hearts and minds. Lord, we're just going to preach the word. We're going to have a wonderful time in you, God. We ask you to bless this church, bless those in attendance, Lord, and open our hearts and minds to receive the most important thing in your life, you. In Jesus' name I pray. Can I get an amen? Amen.
Excited about that song.
They off that long black train, amen?
Amen.
So good to see everybody this morning. God bless you all. God bless you. Put a little love in your heart. Sing with us. We all know that love is God and God is love. If you put God in your heart, you cannot be the same. You can't hate and have God at the same time. Amen. It doesn't work. So if you have God in your heart, you have to forgive and forget and let go. Praise God.
Oh,
beautiful, for spacious heights, forever waves of rain, for purple mountains, majesty above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed his grace on thee. With brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Oh, beautiful, for heroes root in liberty to rise, who more than self their country love.
Remember 9/11, remember those that gave their lives and those who went after that to serve our nation and give the greatest sacrifice they can themselves. So stay standing and we'll ask God to bless us.
Good job, guys.
Be here, amen. And we're going to preach the word of God today and we're going to talk on that. Because God is so good. Hallelujah. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Give him praise. There's only one way through the gate, and that one way is what? Jesus. That's it. I didn't make that up, so don't get mad at me. Little things in life, when you see God in the little things. And I try to tell you, I come up here, I'm talking to Jim, I'm talking to Greg, and I look over at Marilyn standing right there. So how long you been there? I'm telling you, God is standing right there. Our God is sitting right next to you. Amen? He can build. You can't get far away from God back there. He can build. God is sitting next to you. You can go across the street, he'll show up. And that's what you got to see, amen? And if you see it, then you got to believe it. If you believe it, then you start to trust him. What a difference in life when you trust God. Responsive reading. Marilyn made it easy. She made it short. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and praise is beautiful. He heals the brokenhearted, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. That's amazing. Great is our Lord in mighty power, his understanding is infinite. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I read that all the time because I love that. Those are promises from God. I want them. I want promises from God. I don't want promises from man. Can I get an amen? I do. I want to hear what God has to say because he'll direct your path. How many want your path directed? He will give you good success. How many want good success? He will give you peace. How many want peace? Well, why wouldn't we want that, God? Amen? His son died on the cross for us. No other religion. I don't care what their God is. No, whatever religion you think about, their God didn't die for their sins. Amen? Their God didn't surrender their life for us. The only one God that did, what's his name, church?
Jesus.
Say that like you mean it. What's his name?
Jesus.
Yeah, there you go. That's right.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The parable of the lost son. Who was angry? You've got to think about it. Was it the younger son? Was it the older son? Or was it the father? Who was angry in the parable of the lost son? How many think the younger son was the one angry? How about the older son? We get the older son? How about the father? Was he angry? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The older son was angry. Because when the younger son came home, the father was celebrating. And he had this big feast. And the older son said, you never had a feast for me. Why didn't you never have a feast for me? And his father said, everything here is yours. What? I mean, your brother came home. He was lost. And now he saw your brother came to his senses. He came home. Should we not celebrate that? I didn't do anything for him that I wouldn't do for you. But everything I have is yours. But the older son was upset because dad showed him some kindness because he came back to his senses. They call it the prodigal son. Amen? So y'all did good with that one. How long did it take to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem under Nehemiah's leadership? I love this story for many reasons. But how long did it take to rebuild the walls? Was it 40 days and 40 nights? Was it 13 months? Was it 75 weeks? Or was it 52 days? How long did it take to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem under Nehemiah? How many think it was 40 days and 40 nights? Anybody? How about 13 months? We get 13 months? How about 75 weeks? We get 75 weeks? How about 52 days? We get 52 days? If I told you it was with God's help, then what would you say? If I said, with God's help, how long did it take? 52 days. It took 52 days with God's help. Why would they want to build a wall around Jerusalem? Because we always hear the walls never work. Yet they built a wall in Jerusalem. Oh, God doesn't want you building walls. I said, why do you do that? I mean, really, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just asking a question, amen? If God didn't want it to happen, why did they build a wall? Of course we know. Immediately after rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, Nehemiah called for what? After the walls were built. What did he wanted to sacrifice 100 oxen. He wanted execution of God's enemies. The execution of God's enemies. Or he wanted genealogical registration of Jews. I said the word really good, better than I thought it would. Genealogical. That's twice. That's all you're going to get. Immediately after rebuilding the walls, what did Nehemiah call for? How many think the sacrifice of 100 oxen? You guys don't like animals. How about execution of God's enemies? Anybody revenge the execution of God's enemies? All right, genealogical registration of Jews. Anybody? Doing great. He used a registry of those who returned to establish legitimate ancestry. How about that? He wanted to have legitimate ancestry. He wanted to establish it and have a registry. Imagine that. That's God, amen? That's the God in the Bible. I tell you what. I got one more today. How did the Jews worship God after the walls of Jerusalem were built, were rebuilt? How did they worship? Did they celebrate God's deliverance? How did they worship? Confessing their sins? Did they do that? Or how did they consecrate themselves to his service? Nehemiah 9. No, don't look it up now. It's not there. How did the Jews worship God after the walls of Jerusalem were rebuilt? How many think they celebrated God's deliverance? Anybody? How many think that they confessed their sins to God? Anybody? How about consecrated themselves to his service? Everybody come here? Nehemiah 9. How did the Jews worship God after the walls of Jerusalem were rebuilt? They celebrated God's deliverance. They also confessed their sins. They also consecrated themselves to service. They did all three. That's it. You guys forget that stuff. So if you answered anyone right, well, maybe you were right, but you were. I saw John, your hand go up, but you only one time. everybody doing? Amen? I had no idea that we lost such a Christian sister. I heard about Queen Elizabeth passing and they started talking about her faith. They didn't talk about a denomination. Amen? They just said she believed in Jesus. Her whole life she was built around Jesus. Since she was a little girl growing up, it was about Jesus. Amen? The good book, the Bible, that was what she read. That's what she wanted. That's what she loved. I said, wow. And that's why she never said a bad word about anybody. Amen? You might have thought she might have said something about Diana or Megan. But you never heard it. Amen? She never said one bad word about England. Never said one bad word about this leader. Never got involved because she was her faith. Just said, I want to pray about it. And that's what she did. She was a devout Christian. Amen? Wow. And she lived her life that way. 96 years of life in peace. She went through battles. Amen? She went through so many things. But she showed us what a true Christian is. She wasn't a politician. Amen? And that's what a Christian is. They should just know you're a Christian. You shouldn't have to tell anybody. They should be able to see it. They should be able to feel it. They should be able to understand when they look at you, there's something different about you. Yes, because you love who? Jesus. Praise God. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I say that. Anybody ever seen the movie The Godfather? The first one was the best one, Marlon Brando. At the end of the movie, Marlon Brando's in, he's going to pass anyway. He's close to death. And he wanted to talk to Michael about the Bozzinis and the people. And he's got all this information, amen? And he knows all this stuff. And he's got one last time with Michael, his son, who is going to take over. And he's reminding him, if you remember the end of the movie, he's reminding him all of this stuff. Who's going to come against him? What's he going to see? And he just keeps reading, because he wants Michael to know, amen? He's got all this information, and he's afraid that Michael won't know, so he keeps repeating himself. And telling Michael that, how many remember that? At the end, he says, Michael, be careful of this guy, be careful of that guy, be careful of what you're doing. Because it was important to him on his deathbed that Michael knew. For him, amen? For Michael and for him. We have another man in the Bible. The story is very similar. I don't know if you ever read it that way. The man's 35 years of service. 35 years have passed since the resurrection. Approximately 35 years after the resurrection, amen? And he traveled by boat. He traveled by foot. He walked where he went, or took a boat to him. That was his way. He was leading the lost to Jesus. He was leading the world to Jesus. He had one mission, to lead people to Jesus, the Jews and the Gentiles, amen? This is 35 years after the resurrection. He's desperate. He was dedicated ministry to Christ. That was his one, that was his thing. That was all he thought about. His writings have lasted all this time. Amen. Imagine that. His writings have lasted 2,000 years. 2,000 years. The things he wrote have lasted. And what were they about? Jesus. I'm sure he was tired. Can I get an amen? I'm sure he was worn out and ready to be with Jesus, to see him, to see heaven, to receive his award, one last letter. So he had one last letter, one last message. It's in your Bible, amen? It's in your Bible. His last message. One last chance to convince, to tell, and to teach, and to praise God, to express his heart. And he's saying in this letter, Timothy, hear me. And he's saying, world, hear me. He's saying, people, hear me. He's like Don Corleone. I got one last, I got to tell you again, and you got it in your Bible to read it. Wow. I think it's awesome. He's saying, please hear me. He's talking to David. He's talking to Chuck. He's talking to Art. He's saying, please hear me. And then he says, I know what you know, but it's everything to me that I tell you again. It is for my heart and for your good that I leave nothing back, leave nothing out. Understand what he's saying. He knows that, Timothy, I got to tell you, just put up with it. And I got to write it. He's saying, I'm at the end of my time, but you are just beginning yours. He says, I believe in you, and more than that, Timothy, your family believes in you. And more than that, Timothy, God believes in you. And he's saying that to you today. All of this is for your blessings, and for anyone who will hear me and hear you. Those who will follow your teachings, your faith. faith and follow Jesus Christ, follow the will of God, and follow the promises of God. That's what he's telling Timothy, and he's telling you this morning, Jim and Yvonne. He's telling you, Nancy, he's telling you, hear my words. A man of God in prison, old and tired, but not beaten. Hallelujah. His life, his work, his God is all you can think about. And he's saying, you must hear me. So let's read that letter. The most incredible 4 pages you'll ever read. Unbelievable. It's in your Bible. How many know that to be true? I'm going to read from 2 Timothy. Thank you, Lord. I'll just start reading. I'm going to start right from the beginning. To Timothy, beloved son. Grace, mercy, and peace from God to the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers, night and day. While he prays for him always, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. And when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is also in you. Let's examine that. And here's the thing about the Bible. Sometimes, Jim, when you read the Bible, you stop at one, you read one sentence. How many? One sentence. And you stop and examine it. Examine the word. How many want to know what the Bible says? How many want to understand it? Sometimes you do one sentence at a time because it's fascinating. It's amazing. Paul knew his grandmother and his mother, amen? So I ask you, what upbringing Timothy must have had? You understand what I'm saying? Timothy's grandmother and mother raised him right. The fruit of their labor coming to life. When you read that, amen? The fruit of the mother and the grandmother teaching Timothy, the fruit is coming to life in whom? Timothy. And notice one little thing you might have just read when you read through that. He mentions the grandmother first, Brother Sergio. He mentions the grandmother first and then the mother. I don't think he did that by accident. I'm just giving you my opinion. But he mentioned the grandmother first because she came first, amen? He acknowledged that the grandmother came. I knew your grandmother and I knew your mother. I just see if you read that really quick, you don't even see that. And then he says one other word that's very, very interesting, amen? He says grace, mercy, and peace. As he writes to the churches, he uses grace and peace. But to Timothy and to Titus also, he adds one more word. He adds mercy. You see that, right? He said that. He said it right there. Hallelujah. Grace, mercy, and peace. When I read before what's in the bulletin, when Paul was writing to the churches, he said, grace to you and peace from God. Amen. I read that every Sunday. But when he writes to Timothy and he writes to Titus, he adds one more word. What's the word, church? Mercy. Grace, mercy, and peace, he writes. And here's what mercy means. Compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone who is within one's power to punish or harm. God's mercy towards Timothy. A prayer for God's mercy. Those who preach the word are judged differently than others. The responsibilities, the blunders, the mistakes, the shortcomings. And it's in your bulletin. Let me read what James says. James 3, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. Understand that. Can I get an amen? Understand that. The Timothy, he's telling Timothy, when you preach what you say, you're going to get a stricter judgment. That's why you need God's mercy. A prayer for God's mercy. Those who preach the word are judged differently. Amen? My responsibility is giving you the truth. And any mistake I make is on me. Any shortcomings is on me, not on you. We have a Bible study this Tuesday, twice a month. When I do the Bible study, it's my responsibility to give you the truth. Because I'm going to be judged by God differently than you are. Amen? And that's what he's telling Timothy. You need mercy, Timothy. So Paul understands. He prays for mercy. He says, son, you will need every drop of it. Whew. Wow. I think that's well. Let's continue. He said, therefore, Walter, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying of my hands. All right, let's stop right there. What does he say? I remind you to stir up the gifts. See, if you read that, you just kind of go through. But if you stop for a second, Stir up the gifts. What's he telling them? Be bold. Be determined. God has your back. Stand, preach, and lead. Because why? The gift is inside of you. Did you read that? The gift is inside of you. He said, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying of my hands. Wow. Stir the action. That's what he says. If you just stop there and feel that. Timothy, stir up the gifts. Stir them up. Get them. Be bold. Whew. And he goes on. For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Wow. Stop right there. What's he saying? Timothy. Hold fast. Timothy, God has called you. There can be no room and no time for fear. Amen? Go into the power of God. Go into the power of God. He has given it to you. Can I say that with me? He has given it to you. He has given it to all who believe. You might not feel it. You might not use it. But you have it. And you have it when? Now. You have the power of God when? Now. And he's telling the church, stir up the gifts of God in Jesus. Hallelujah. Listen to what he's saying. He said, God has called you. There can be no room, no time for doubt, no time for fear. He said, for God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen? He's given it to you, Brother John. That's what he's given you. Whether you use it or not, it doesn't matter. Can I get an amen? I turn and says, I don't feel it. I don't care. Somebody says, I never use it. I don't care. But you have it. You have it. And when you stir up the gift, it starts to shine through. Amen? You need to stand on that. Can I get an amen? See, hey, he's telling them. That's why you stop at that one sentence. 1:7, he says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hallelujah. That's so much information in seven right there. Seven scriptures. Seven. How many? Seven. And look at everything we're learning. And then he goes on a little bit, down to 13. He says this. Listen to him. He's telling Timothy. He's telling you. This is his last chance. He said, hold fast. I love this. The pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed for you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. Wow. Stop right there. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Stop right there, amen. Brother Jim, right? Hold fast, and you say, what is, okay, I'm going to stop there and I'm going to examine that. I know it's taken a while, but I don't care. I want to learn with the Bible. I want to be stronger after reading this, so I need to stop. He's telling Timothy to hold fast now, to the sound doctrine, the pattern of the words, of the sound words that you have heard from me. What's he saying? He's telling Timothy, hold fast the pattern of sound words. Be bold. Hold fast. Be bold. Amen. Say that with me. Be bold. Hold fast. He's telling Timothy this. Listen to me, church. He's telling Timothy, winds are going to blow, Timothy. Storms will rise. Doubt may show up. You're going to have complaints from people. Amen. You're going to have complainers. Amen. Men who will speak against you. Amen. Yes. And disturb your ministry. People are going to disturb your church. And he's telling Timothy, and he's telling us this morning, to hold fast. Let me strip to what? The pattern of sound words. And what is that? The script. And what is that? The blueprint. And what is that, church?
The Bible.
The Bible. Brother Jim, you remember that. He's telling Timothy, you hold fast to this book. Hold fast. That means hold on. Because winds are going to blow, you need to hold on. How many know that? And the storms are going to come, you need to hold on. And he's telling them, hold on, because storms are going to come. You're going to have complainers in your church. Really? Absolutely. Take it from me. You're going to have people complaining about crazy things. Right? Amen. Take it from me. You're going to have it all. You're going to have people speaking against you. Amen. Take it from me. You're going to have people on TV calling me a hater and a liar because I preach Jesus Christ. And because you love him, they're going to talk about you. Believe me. That's what he's telling us. Complaints and complainers. Men will speak against you. Disturb your ministry. Disturb your church. And he's telling them to do hold fast. That's why you stop at that line. You just stop right there. Hold fast. Hold on. I'll read it. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And these the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses coming, commit these to faithful men, and I will get to that. Let me stop there. 2, he said, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. He's telling them again. What's he telling them, church? He's telling them to be strong, to endure again and again, to stir up, get excited, to hold fast to the words, be strong. Amen? He's telling them again, and he's talking to you this morning. He's talking to you, Greg, this morning. He's saying, hold fast, be strong, Zippy. He got his thing, don't get caught up in the wind. He's telling us what, and he's on, we're going to get to that, but this is his letter. This is his last chance, and he's got to say what's in his heart, and he's talking to you this morning. Praise God. I hope you praise God. And then he says, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Wow. Wow. He's telling them to teach others. To teach others. Because he said, you can't do it on your own. That's why he said that. Can I get an amen? He's telling the people, you need to teach others. You need to get them out there. And you need to give them the word. You need to stick to the patterns, to the blueprint, to the Bible. And you teach others to be strong, Timothy, because you can't do it on your own. But teach them to faithful men, amen? Give them to people who will listen and run the race. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's continue on. Great story. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffered trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. Hallelujah. Therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Wow. Paul did not live in a palace. Can I get an amen? Amen. He didn't live in a mansion. Can I get an amen? Amen? He didn't drive a nice car. He didn't have an electric car. He didn't even have a nice chariot to drive. And he didn't have people pulling the chariot. He didn't have a nice suit to wear or nice shoes to wear. Amen? He served God. At many times he suffered for Christ, that's what he said. No, he also suffered for all believers. Hallelujah. And when we read his words today, think about that. Think about the suffering he went through for you today. This letter was written over 2,000 years ago, and we're reading it today because it pertains to when? Today. That's a miracle. And he said, not one thing can stop the word of God from this world. How many things? Zero, not one. His word is what sets us free, amen? Jim, you're going to like this. His word is our food. Can I get it, amen? Come on. It's not to be used sparingly or rationally. Let me say that again. His word is not to be rationally. It needs no help. It needs no seasoning. We're reading from his word because his word is good enough, amen? When we start seasoning it, we start seasoning the salt and pepper, we start making it our own, which is mistake number one. 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. It needs no help. And he's saying, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others. He's saying, stay strong, stay focused, according to the rules. Whose rules? God's rules. Because they should never, and they can never, waver. Amen? The second God's rules start to waver, we're going to fall apart. Amen? We're going to fall apart like my sandals from that guy. We're going to fall apart. The second God's word starts to change, we're in big trouble. But we know his word never changes, and if there's faithful in it, amen, and you're all faithful. Wow. Thank you, Lord. He suffered. That's what he said. That's what he said when you read that. That's why he's not. He said, for which I suffered trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of change, but the word of God is not changed. Not chained. And then we go on and said, this is a faith, say, Timothy. For if we die with him, we shall also live with him. Wow. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. And here's one right here that's really, listen to this. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. You stop right there. You stop and think about that. Think about it. Jesus did not stutter. Can I say that again? He did not, what church? Stutter. He said, if we deny him, he will also deny us. Matthew 10:33. Says, but whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Anybody understand that? Was that too plain to understand or what? How many doubt that? I believe that. I believe every word. If you deny Jesus, his Father, Jesus coming in heaven, denying you to the Father. I don't want that to happen. I know it won't happen to you. I know you. How many get mad at God? How many want to fight with God, argue with God? That's not denying God. In fact, when you fight with God, that means you mean you understand God is real and you want something from God. You didn't get, amen? He didn't answer your prayer yet, so you get angry. God, what's taking so long? That's not denying him, amen? But he said, if you deny him, I will deny you to my Father. That is strong. That means a lot to me. That is just absolutely, absolutely just blows my mind. And then it says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. Let me help you with that. Listen to that. It says that at times we grow weak. Anybody? Anytime we doubt, sometimes we doubt, he does not. Sometimes he waits for us to catch up. I love that. I wrote that. Sometimes, anybody ever say to somebody, hey, wait up! You ever do that? Run, hey, wait up! He remains the same. That's what the scripture said. He hasn't gone anywhere. Who has left you at the time we become the prodigal son? Remember the question from the quiz today? We become you. Everybody look around. You see the prodigal son. You're the one going away. You're the one bowing and pulling away from God. But when you turn around, there he is. Picture that. He's like Marilyn right there. Marilyn is standing right there, and I never saw her. God is standing right next to you. He hasn't left you. He hasn't gone anywhere. It's you that have been faithless. Amen? And the Bible says he cannot deny himself. And what that means, he says in Hebrews, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's saying, I, God, will never leave you nor forsake you. Who leaves? You do. He's gone nowhere. That's why he cannot deny. He said, I already told you, I'm not going anywhere. Why are you going? Come back. And then finally you get it in your head and you turn around and God says, hey, wait up! I love that. You start running after God again. And he puts his arm around you and says, come here, come here, come on. I love you. Like Marilyn said, come here, I love you. He's saying, I love you. He's saying, I have to be. I told you I will never leave you or forsake you. You're the one that ran away. You're the prodigal son who came home. Wow. And then he says this, and this is more of an attitude, and it's an attitude of a pastor or a leader. And this was important to me, but I wanted to read it to you. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all. To how many? Able to teach, be patient, and humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth. And that they may come to their senses and escape the snares of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Wow. See, I read that as like God talking to me. He's talking to you too. But I have an attitude that I have to have. I have to be gentle. You don't have to be as gentle as I do. Amen. Understand that. You don't have to be as patient. And you don't have to be as humble. But I'm called to do that. And anytime you preach to somebody, then you've called to do that. Understand, when you start telling somebody about God, listen to me, church, you become the pastor. When you start telling Deacon Sergio about Jesus, you become the teacher. So you have to be humble. You see, when you start preaching God and talking to God, and these things apply to you as they do. Somebody said, how can the people get you so upset at church? This person gets me upset. This person did that or that. I can't see it the same way. I have to reach out. I reached out to people who left the church. People who left, for not because of God, not because of my preaching, because they didn't like something you said. So I told them, look, where does it say that? Where does it say I leave the church because somebody in the church disagrees with me? It doesn't. I have to try. as a pastor to try to turn them back. Not because this is the only church, but I believe when God plants you in a church, He plants you in the church. Not to move around and say, I want to find, because when you learn, you know what you learn how to do when you find another church, Jim? You learn how to find another church. That's what you learn really good. Remember that story. I love the story that Pastor Spurgeon said. I love that. I'm going to say it again just for myself. He said, when people say they're leaving the church and they're looking for a perfect church, and he said, if you find a perfect church, don't go away. Get it? If you find the perfect church, you don't go away. You're going to ruin it. I love that. But he's telling you, and he's telling you, I know you look at me as pastor, and I have a responsibility. David mentions that a few times. You have a response, but when you start talking about Jesus to anybody, you become the pastor. And that attitude has to be in you. So you have to be gentle. You have to be humble. I know you hate being humble. And I know you hate being kind to people. But you have to do that. It's your calling. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. This is the prophecy. This is 2,000 years ago. Listen, for men will be lovers of themselves. Lovers of money, ouch, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without any control, brutal despisers of the good. Yeah. Traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people, turn away. You see, when you read that, I read it to you, you hear me? But if you go home and read that in the third chapter of Timothy, 2 Timothy, he's pretty smart guy, amen? He predicted what's going to happen 2,000 years later. How did he do that? Because it's life and what people do when they pull away from God. That's what happens, amen? His prophecy. Isn't that interesting? With all the things I read, I want you to read it again. It's the third chapter. It's all the things of perilous times. I love men will be lovers of themselves. That's crazy, amen? But this guy 2,000 years ago wrote it, and I'm reading it to you today. That's how important it is. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you. And then he goes, this is really interesting. After reading all that, he does this. 10. You have carefully followed my doctrine and my manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, and perseverance. Persecution, affliction, which happened to me. He lifted him up, amen? See, if you just stop there for a second, you just read three, you read the 10th, right there. The 10th verse. He lifted him up, amen? Listen to what he's saying, Timothy. You have carefully followed my doctrine and manner of life, perseverance, faith, long-suffering, love, and perseverance. He lifted him up, you see? He said something, he's warning him all these things, but he took a second to lift him up, amen? When you lift up somebody, when you say, man, you look good today, or I'm glad to see it, or God bless you, or when you lift somebody up, they feel good. How many know that's true? When you give somebody a good word, they feel better, amen? Oh, I like your haircut, or I like what you're wearing today. The person feels, oh, thank you very much. You changed your life. And he was doing that with Timothy. You're doing the same thing. He's saying, you have done well, my son. Wow. And I read this, 3:14, 3:14. Thank you, Lord. They said, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, Timothy. And that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Wow. Because he knows that his upbringing was important. Can I get an amen? Paul knows that his grandmother and his mother raised him to know God and to love God, and she's seeing the fruit, and you're going to see the fruit. You might not think it. I'm going to say that again. You might not think when you talk to your son, your daughter, your family members that they're going to believe you, but trust me, you're planting seeds, and that fruit might not be seen by you, and I'm sorry that it doesn't work that way. My mother never saw this son. She never saw her son as a pastor of a church. She never did, but she prayed about it. She prayed for me to God, amen? And the fruit of her prayers and labor are here. Looking, you're looking at it. And that's the same for you. You might not see it, but trust me, when you do it, it happens. Amen?
Amen.
He's saying, you have done well, my son. You've done really well. From your childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures. If you just get out of your own head, you get out of your own doubt, get out of your own way, and believe God, and search for God, you're going to have differences in your life. You're going to have good success. You're going to have different people come to you, and you're going to be found favor. And I want to find favor with people. That's what he's saying. And then he says this, and which is interesting. This is 2 Timothy 3:16. Anybody else know a scripture 3:16 in the Bible? Yeah, right? For he, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave. I don't want to say that there's any resemblance. I just found it fascinating that 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I just said, that's really amazing. And if you want to know more about that, you come to Bible study Tuesday night, because we're going to talk about the inspiration of God in the scriptures. Amen? Because people miss how great that is and how true that is. That this Bible front to back was inspired by the Word of God, inspired men to write this stuff. And this book is still alive. How many know that's true? It's 2,000 years later. The book's still alive. How many times they tried to stop it? I don't want to give away the Bible study. But how many times they tried to get in the way of the Word, Deacon Sergio? How many times they said the Word? There's thousands of years. You've seen it in your little 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, your lifetime. Queen Elizabeth saw it 96 years, and she smiled at us. And it's been from beginning to end, people have come against the Word of God. And it made me think more so now, but no, that's not true at all. They've always come against the Word of God. And they've always tried to stop it and tell you the book's lying or the book is foolish. And every time, they're ones that have proved foolish. Amen? Doctrine, a set of beliefs. Reproof, removal of disapproval. Correction, we all know what that was, making right and righteousness. Morality, virtue, decency, and honesty. How many know we need that in the world? Praise God. I know you do. All right, we're going to go. Chapter 4. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearance in the kingdom. Preach the word. Yes, what does it say? You know, you all know this, right? And you got to understand that Paul is on his deathbed and he's telling Timothy everything he wants him to know. And he's telling you today, this morning, on 9/11/2022, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, to convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. Long-suffering is a very interesting word. That means you've got to put up with everything. But preach the word. Wow. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Amen. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. He's saying, Timothy, some are going to walk away from the church. He's saying, Timothy, some will want a new way. Can I get an amen? Some of the people are going to want a different way. And some people are going to say, why can't we just get along? And some people are going to say, maybe we should make things a little easier. Not break the rules, but, you know, bend them, stretch them. Who would know? He would know. He said, endure afflictions, Timothy. Fulfill your ministry. Their salvation is at stake. Their salvation, your family's salvation is at stake. He said, you don't have no time for messing around, no time for fudging, no time for bending and stretching, because what you're teaching them is life, now and for eternity, amen? People are going to want a new way, a different way. We see it all the time. And people say, why can't we just get along? To get along with who? I want to get along with God. Get along with it, though, you get along. I want to get along with God. 4:6. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is in hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. He's saying, yet my time has arrived. I fought hard. I am at the end. I have kept the faith. My godly, heavenly reward is awaiting me. And then he says this to Timothy, which is this. Be diligent to come to me quickly, for he's been forsaken. Demas has forsaken him, and he's left all alone except that Luke is with him. And he said, get Mark and bring him with you, for he's useful for me in ministry. He's still talking about that, but he knows. He says, come quickly. And here's the truth. We never know if Timothy makes it. Amen? We never know if he makes it. He said, only Luke is here, and get Mark. And he's saying, I'm cold. And bring me my books. Bring me my cloak. Hallelujah. And right at the end, it's a little house cleaning. You understand? He's got a little house cleaning to do. Something came. After all that, I have to think, and I understand this, writing my sermons. How many know that I write my own sermons? Every week. I write my own. And I see people, I tell my wife, people on TV giving speeches, and they have speech writers. They have a group of people writing their speeches. And I said, that's interesting, because Sunday night when I get home tonight, I'm going to work on the Bible study, and then work on my sermon next week. Nobody else, my wife encourages me, and I ask her questions, but I got to write it all. I write it all myself, which I'm very happy and proud to do, because I get to spend time with God. You know. You can if you want. No, anyway. But after writing all this stuff, he's got something to come to and say, oh, Timothy. Oh, by the way. Alexander, the coppersmith, did me much harm. Why did he think of that now? It just came to him. May the Lord repay him according to his works. Out. And he said, you also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. Wow. I said, why did he add that? It just came to his head. It was important for him to say that. And he said, at my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them, the people who lived him. Then he says in 4:17, the Lord is faithful. This is the end. The Lord stood with me, but the Lord has strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his glory and heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen and amen. He's saying, Timothy, God is with me. Timothy, God is with you. I'm telling you this morning, church, God is with you. He's sitting right there. 2,000 years ago, this book is alive and well today. Why? I'll give you the answer. To heal us, to heal our land, and to heal America. Nothing can stop God's word. We must preach the word. Give him praise this morning.
Farewell letter.
I really love what I do for a living. The Bible said I would love what I do for a living if I did it for him. Any job that you have, you do it for God, and you will love what you do. It will lead you to love what you do for helping others. You will have a different heart, a different spirit, and it's a blessing to you and a blessing to others. But God is here this morning, amen? And he's with us in this church. We might not have 500 people, we might not have 50 people. We might this morning be a little lower, but God is in the house, and that is good enough for me, amen? Praise God, and you're here, and I'm humbled that you're here. Hallelujah. We do this in remembrance of him. Paul, every day, did everything in remembrance of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. He is our all in all. He is all we need. The gate is narrow to those who don't believe, but the gate for you is so wide and so open. Hallelujah. So beautiful. Waiting for you someday to enter that gate. To be with those you love and those who have got the rewards already, because we believe in Jesus. Thank you, Lord. He took the bread and blessed and broke it and said, this is my body being torn for you. And all he asked, he said, here, take this bread. And he didn't do this in remembrance of me, in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you for sending Paul to us. Thank you that he was faithful and he heard you, Lord. That even though he had to change his mind and attitude, Lord, he did it. Lord, you came to him and he did change, Lord. He served you all those years and he wrote those letters to those churches. And he wrote letters to Timothy and to Titus that lasted over 2,000 years, every bit true. As it is what it was written. That his heart was on telling us over and over and over again what to do, to remind us to stay with Jesus, to look to Jesus, to come to Jesus, to call on Jesus, because he is our all in all. Father God, forgive us for our iniquities of this week. Any words, any attitudes, Lord, You know us, Lord. You've been with us every minute, so you know we've turned to the left and to the right. But we want to turn back to you this morning, so forgive us and heal us, Lord, and bring us back to you this morning. Lord, we just love you and worship you. As you pour the wine into a glass, saying, this is my blood being shed for you for the remission of your sins, Lord, we do this morning in remembrance of you in Jesus' name. Took a little longer than 20 minutes. But if you stay home and read 2 Timothy, it'll take you about 10 minutes. There's 4 chapters, they're half a page on the Bible, and they're very easy to understand. But Paul needed to tell us again and again. See, sometimes, Pastor, you say the same thing because I have to. Sometimes it's that one last time that you say, aha, I get it. What a victory. Praise God. We'll give him praise this morning. God. We're going to talk about that Tuesday night at the Bible study. I'm afraid that it's a fascinating study and that you learn something and see something and understand that all Scripture is given to the inspiration of God. So Bible study when? Tuesday at 7 o'clock. Let's stand up and take the offering this morning. Sandwiches downstairs and the coffee every week and the little and donuts and everything, the pizza, and when we have that, everything comes from the people in the church. Amen. To bless the church. So Lord, thank you for those givers, Lord, and I ask you to bless them back, Lord, that they have to come and say, Pastor, I gotta tell you what God did for me this week with my finances. Because people hear testimonies and it will lead them. So we take that offering from Deacon Sergio and we lift it up to you, Lord. We lift it up to you and ask you to multiply it like you did the fish and the bread, Lord. We trust in you. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Mary Ann and Jim have decided to stay home. And I want you to understand why they decided that. I believe when I talked to my wife also, they've been very sick for a long time. Jim has been really sick. He can't drive anymore. And anybody ever see Mary Ann? She wavers and kind of when she's walking. They said to me, we were home last Sunday in our pajamas watching the ministry on TV. They are devout, beautiful Christians. They are wonderful givers. They have blessed us and blessed this church. And they haven't left the church. I believe it's their time to rest. I believe it's their time. And I told them that when I texted them. I said, you know, you've earned the right to stay home on a Sunday in your pajamas. Don't nobody get crazy like that here. But I just want you to know that they weren't mad. They were nothing. I think they were just tired. You know, Mary Ann's been through a lot with the shingles and every other ailment with her legs and her feet. And Jim's the same way. So I believe that that's why they decided to do that. And they did it in such a beautiful way. And I just wanted to share that with you. Because there are brothers and sisters in Christ. So that. We remember 9/11 today. Somebody said it was 21 years, right, Brother John?
Yep.
21 years. 21 years. You all remember where you were on that day, amen? You remember. We all do. And that's fascinating because I don't remember what I did the day before and the day after. But I remember that day. And my church did a church service on the 15th. We had it planned for the Roosevelt Hotel in New York City that on the 15th, which Roosevelt was right behind Grand Central Station. And we called the hotel and said, should we cancel? And they said, please don't cancel. We went, so we did a church service right there at the Roosevelt, and when we left the Brewster train station, there were cars all lined up with roses on the cars for the people who didn't return home. Devastating time, and we remember that. We lift up those families and pray about this nation to not see that again, amen? We ask God to bless. That's what makes this beautiful nation so great, because we ask God to bless it. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And when we ask God to bless it, we need to believe that He will. Come on up, Zippy. Sing. Everybody sing this. Thank you, Grace. The closing prayer together, church. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make your face to shine on you and be gracious to you. And the Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. Thank you, Greg. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I love that. I forget it. And I'm the one that told Marilyn to put it in the book. I guess I'm not perfect.
Sing with us, everybody.